Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is FMC here on a Tuesday. I am Jeremy. That is SP3. SP3 has been fined for his lateness today. SP3, would you like to explain why you have delayed things and you have showed up to practice late? Or actually, this is a game. This is a game that you're supposed to love, and you're late. You owe the people an explanation.
You know, what had happened was my internet's Wi-Fi wasn't connecting to my laptop here. It was connected to everywhere else. My phone, my Fire Stick, perfectly fine. My laptop, it wasn't agreeable. So after about 5 minutes of being late, I was like about to jump on my phone. I freaking put a game set on my laptop to prop up my phone on the area that I usually record with my laptop. And when I put the game set on my laptop, it suddenly connected to the internet. So thank you, Game Board. Thank you, everyone, for getting me here. You should be more worried about that I'm here because of the nonsense that you pulled last week with dragging my Lakers. Like, we're the headline story. We're not the headline story. We're the back line. We should be in the back line with our performance. I see, I'm the one saying it, ladies and gentlemen. So you know it's true because all I say on this show is nothing but the truth. I'm not the one saying elite big Pau Gasol. I'm the one here spitting facts. I said Russell Westbrook would be excellent coming off the bench. I was correct. I said if we were on a good team, Anthony Davis would be having an MVP season, 23 points, 10 rebounds. Come on, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. If we were on a championship team, if we are a championship contender, we'd be looking good. But no, we have to drag my Los Angeles Lakers on a weekly basis. So I'm glad that the headline story this week is your Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, the Lakers suck. That's why we drag them. Because they're terrible. But you're right that we shouldn't talk about them that much. There's not much to talk about. There's just really not. They're not in the headline this week. The Thunder are in the headline because... So they beat the Raptors and the Knicks over the weekend. Raptors, very good win. Raptors are a good team. I know Siakam's out. But they're still a good team. Knicks, whatever. But it was in the Garden and everything though. But like that's a good win. But like it's the Knicks, right? Like,
it's the Knicks. Yeah. I'm from New York, and I've never been a Knicks fan in the whole 34 years of my lifetime. I can honestly say I've never been a Knicks fan.
It was a good performance though. Like they shot the ball well. Like it looked like a really good basketball team against the Knicks. Again, it's the Knicks. So I text my buddy Sammer yesterday morning, and I'm like, if the Thunder win tonight, they're going to make the play-in game. And he's like, oh, I believe you. I'm hype. He didn't realize who they were playing. He was just on board with this. He's like, I'm hype. I believe you. Like, let's go. And then he looked at it. He's like, dude, they're playing in Boston on a back-to-back. Like, they're not going to win this game. Like, you're an idiot. I was like, yeah, probably. But like, it can't hurt to believe this. Like if they win this, I truly believe that they could make the play-ins. And if they lose, whatever, they lose to Boston in Boston on a back-to-back. Who cares? I watched the game last night. I find myself getting mad at basketball again because I'm just sorry. So there's going to be a lot going on here. We're going to have to end this show at 10 o'clock because... I'm gonna try to get Taylor Swift tickets, which I don't think it's gonna go well, but we're gonna attempt to get the Taylor Swift tickets, and yeah, we'll see how that goes. So I'm watching the game last night. I'm watching the Thunder game last night, and I find myself getting mad at basketball again because they're winning most of the game and they're playing very well throughout the game. They're up double digits. And then like at the end of the third quarter, they make some bonehead plays. Boston hits a couple like bailout threes and stuff. And it's just, it didn't work. It was just upsetting. And then they end up losing because, again, Boston hit some bailout threes at the end and clutch. Marcus Smart kind of takes over. I've decided I don't like Marcus Smart at all. And they lose. Fine, whatever. They're not expected to win a lot of these games. But I found myself getting mad because they were playing well, and I do think this team is good. They're too good to tank at this point. Shea is an all-star. They're a good team. They got good players. The problem with the team is they're just young. They're, you know, most of these guys are rookies or in their second season. Shea's about the only person who's been Dort to an extent, but definitely Shea's about the only person who has like any type of playoff experience, any type of like big game pressure moment experience. The rest of these guys, for the most part, these last 2 years, or it's their rookie year, they've played in meaningless games for 95%. Of the last 2 years. So like, they don't know how to handle these moments. And these are the growing pains that you have to go through as a young team. And I understand that completely, but I found myself getting like, oh man, like, ah, oh, would have been nice if we could have just like won that game, figured it out. It didn't, it's fine. It happens. But I apologize to the wife right now. Cause it's going to get bad with basketball. Probably not this season. Probably not fully this season until like maybe we're in a play-in spot at the end of the year. If we are, and then like, I'll want to be in that play-in game. I've decided I'll want to be in it because you either get in the play-in game or you get like the Lakers where they're a game out of the play-in. Like your lottery odds aren't that good. You're probably not winning the lottery at that point. So you want the feeling of being in the play-in game and like having that moment of like, oh, pressure basketball, fun basketball, like high intense basketball. Like you kind of miss that after years of just sucking. And sucking on purpose, mind you, but years of sucking. So if they're in a play-in spot at the end of the year, yeah, it's not going to be like great for my basketball, my sports health here. So I apologize to the wife in advance for that. It's not going to be as bad as last season with the Avs run and everything, but it's not going to be great either because me and Sam are going to be talking. He's going to make things worse. It's not going to be great, but
he's going to be getting your hopes up.
No. He doesn't get my hopes up. So here's the thing that happens. It's like, he doesn't get my hopes up or anything. He's worse with like the Avs last season where he's like, oh, they're good. They got this. Like everything's fine. It's just that like, I don't have a lot of people to talk to when it comes to like hockey. I don't have anybody to talk to. Like none of my friends like watch hockey or anything like that. Like it's just the camaraderie that we have with the team and talking about the team and stuff. And like, we have an understanding of where everything is at with just how we're feeling. Like we feel sports on the same level. So we have that camaraderie, and like on one hand, it's good because it's an outlet of someone I can talk to about this stuff. On another hand, it's bad because we kind of just like raise each other blood pressure on it. Cause we're just like talking and ranting. It's like, oh fuck, I wish this would have happened and that would have happened. And like, we just let it all out there and it makes it a little bit worse at the same. Like I'm just always messaging him with stuff. So it's good and bad. Cause hockey's always been my favorite sport, but talking to him about basketball so much over the years, like I've become a lot more invested in basketball just because it's someone to talk to about everything going on a nightly basis, even though I've always liked hockey more. So yeah, that's why it can be like a little bit worse when it comes to basketball.
He feels the fire, but nah, yeah. I was big on Oklahoma City before the season. Like if you go True Hill Heat Sports, we talk about basketball over there. And I predicted OKC in the play-in, even without Chet, because I thought these guys, you have a bunch of young players that are really good. And I thought this would be a huge year for Shea, which he has shown that. And that's why I drafted him. That's why I drafted Shea. I got Shea on my team. He's averaging 31 points. I think 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, a block and a half. He's second on the team in blocks. He's balling out this year. So I think OKC is really good. They need probably this season. I don't know who other draft picks do you have in 2023?
We have a swap with the Clippers, I think. I'll look it up.
Because I think it's gonna, I think you're gonna be like, if you're not in the play-in, I think you're gonna be like an 11-12 seed, like a game and a half out of the play-in at the worst, because y'all are really good and y'all are gonna, even the games that you're gonna lose, it's gonna be close games. Like your margin of victory and win seems to be pretty close, most games. So that's why I like watching the Thunder as well. They're always a team, if they give you a free week of league pass, that's one of the teams I try to watch.
So we have a pick swap with the Clippers in 2023. Some of this stuff is very tough to understand because OKC just has so much different. They've made so many trades and whatnot, and I'm on Pro Sports Transactions, and I don't feel like it's the best. Maybe we have the Heat first rounder. It says potential, but it looks like the Nuggets, we've traded that one. It's very strange of it. I know we have the Clippers pick. I'm positive on. I'm positive that we have the Clippers pick. I just get like a very basic guide to this stuff. Why do we have to complicate? Draft picks are complicated.
They are. I'd rather look at them on 2K.
Yeah.
2K is easier to read than sometimes when you look at it online. I just be like, okay, we got the Phoenix pick this year. Okay, cool. But OKC is going to be fine for the next couple of years. They're kind of like one of those five-year teams. Like I said, with like Cleveland after the Donovan Mitchell trade, like they're going to be a powerhouse in the league for like the next 5 years. So I think that's kind of the same thing with OKC. The only reason I asked about 2023, because if they could get Wembanyama, oh man, it would be a wrap. We're gonna have OKC versus Cleveland, like Cleveland versus Golden State, 4 years in a row in the finals.
So I was talking, Ashok, pick swap is if the Clippers have a worse pick, so technically like the Pelicans have a pick swap with the Lakers this year. Yeah. So like the Lakers technically have their first round pick. It's just a matter of they're probably going to finish worse than the Pelicans. So the Pelicans would just swap with the Lakers. So the Thunder have the chance to swap with the Clippers of, okay, if the Clippers finish below the Thunder in the standings, they can just swap out that pick is how it works. But the Clippers would then get the Thunder pick. So like if the Thunder pick 16th and the Clippers get 13th, they would swap OKC picks 13th, the Clippers pick 16th. Or if the Clippers have the better pick, they just don't swap it at all. The Thunder just keep their pick. So that's how pick swap works on that. So when I was texting with Samer and I said like next season they've got a challenge for a play-in position, and this was a week ago, I like they got a challenge for a play-in position next season, because at some point you've got to make progress, right? Like you can't just be like, oh, we're gonna tank every season, because you don't just go from like bottom of the league to top of the league. There's gotta be gradual progression there. And so I said like next season, like they gotta make the play-in next season. Otherwise, I don't know if the plan is working. Now I'm thinking like they have a shot at making the play-in this year. And I don't know if they're gonna do it or not. Like they gotta stay healthy. That's the thing with all the teams. Like they gotta stay healthy. And Shea's gotta be there. But the thing is like they have Shea. Shea is an all-star this year. He's been one, like legitimately a top 10 player in the league this year. It's very tough to tank with this guy. because he's that good. And the team is progressing and getting better. They got good pieces on the team, and they're just all young players. They're going to make mistakes and stuff. It'd be nice to have Chet there. He's not going to play this season. That's an unfortunate thing. But next year, you've got to at least make the play-in to show some type of progression with everything. If they make it this year, even better. I like the track that this team is on. I think next year they will make the play-in. And I think that if they make it this year, even better, honestly. But it's fun. It's fun to care about basketball again, because the last three seasons now, I think the last three seasons, it just haven't cared at all, because I knew that what OKC was doing. Injuries haven't helped. We've seen the progression of some players. Pokuševski has turned into a legit player, which is great to see. It's fun to see the progression of a lot of these guys. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun to care about basketball, even if it's not great for my overall mental health when it comes to this stuff and caring so much. I'm sure Shea does seem like a player Miami's going to target, but what are they giving up? They're not trading Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, right? They're not. They're just not. That's their one untouchable, I would say. I think they would even think about trading Josh Giddey. They would definitely think about trading Josh Giddey ahead of Shea.
He signed the max contract. He's under contract for five more seasons. They're not thinking of trading this guy. And even he has said it. I understand what the future is. I understand what we're building towards. They're not trading this guy at all. At least not this season. I don't think next season. Now, two seasons from now, if they haven't made progress, do they think of okay, maybe we should trade him and figure it out from there? Yes. I think maybe two seasons from now, if the progress hasn't been shown, maybe it's a conversation. Don't talk to me about it until then, because it's not happening this season. It's not happening next season, because Chet's back next season. That's going to be another step. You're going to get whatever draft pick you get next season. That's going to be another step. So I don't think there's going to be any type of tanking talk next season. They're not trading him. I don't think they're trading anybody. Any of these young guys. The guys who I could see be traded are Darius Bazley, because they didn't get him a new contract before the extension. So Bazley is one guy I could see being traded, and he has some value. And Dort just signed an extension. But I could see teams making a decent enough offer to where maybe we'll trade him. But I don't even think he's on the table. I don't think they're trading any of these guys. I think that they believe in this core, and they're going to continue to grow together and see how it goes. I just don't see them making any type of these moves of they're going to trade this guy for more picks. They're good on picks. And at some point, you got to make progress with these young players. You can't just keep making these, you can't keep trading these guys and then kicking the can down the road. The can is there. You got to pick it up at some point, and you got to start walking with it.
Yeah. They have to figure it out. But I like what all the whole West, pretty much for the most part, it seems like all the teams are playing hard. A lot of teams that we thought were going to tank, they're in the top half of the West with the Trailblazers, the Jazz is up there. So they're all doing very well. You got three teams that have basically the same record right now in the West. You got multiple teams above 500 or at 500 right now. The Warriors had a better week than their first 2 weeks this past week. Timberwolves has kind of trailed off. Like you said, OKC's been playing well. My Lakers are the Lakers, and the Lakers have no reason to tank because we did, like you said, that New Orleans can take their pick. There's no reason for us to tank. You got LeBron James. He's going to be trying to get this scoring record regardless of what we do. If we tank or not, he's going to try to get this scoring record. You got Anthony Davis. You got Russell Westbrook. You have no reason to tank at all, regardless of if you had your pick. But if you don't even have it. So regardless, they have no reasons to tank. The only teams that I see tanking around the league is probably Rockets. Rockets at this point should just probably.
Rockets are tanking.
Yeah, they should just wrap it up, call a house. I can see Pistons tanking at this point. And Magic had a better week, but I can see the Magic tanking.
Those are basically the tanking teams right now. And, you know, they have their plans. I think, like, Cade's been injured a little bit. Now Bancharo's injured for the Magic. And then Jabari Smith. I haven't kept up too much on his status. But the Rockets just aren't very good, honestly. So Money Mark says Karl Towns should be traded. Karl Anthony Towns. I've watched way too much Minnesota Timberwolves basketball this season. I believed in them. Like, I had some hopes for them of, you know, Gobert and Towns. This is going to, like, be a nice little duo here. They're going to use Gobert better. They're going to get him more involved. He'll fit well next to Towns. So far, it ain't working. It's just not working. And I don't put this fully on Towns, but there is a very clear thing where, like, he's just not factored into the game plan as much as he should be. He'll go games where he gets like 8 shots. Like, why is he only getting 8 shots? Yeah, him and Edwards have no chemistry. It doesn't look like it. Like, I'm sure everybody's seen the play where Edwards is just like standing around, like just hands on his knees, like doing nothing involved into the play. Like, that's not a great look. There's also the play where, like, they're running down the court and, like, Towns has a step and he's calling for the ball and he doesn't get the ball and he runs, like, out of bounds. And once he's out of bounds, Edwards passes him the ball. Like, what are we doing here? It doesn't look like they got too much chemistry. Because it's such a perimeter-centric league, I understand why they would probably just stick with Edwards. Towns, like, do you trade him? It's tough to trade a guy like that because he is a unique player. He's a very good player. But they did mortgage a lot with trading for Gobert. Like, you can recoup a lot of those draft picks if you trade for Towns. I it's not the worst idea in the world if they decided to trade Karl Anthony Towns. Where he goes, I don't know. Everybody's going to say Miami because I just feel like Miami is always one of those splashy spots for a player to go.
Yeah.
I mean, the Warriors have, like, young players to kind of offer up if they wanted to do something like that, because I feel like they're out on James Wiseman at this point. He's not progressing the way they want him to. They're sending him to the G League now for, I think it's at least 10 days. Like, that's not fully working. But I don't know if anybody, like, wants to give up too much for Wiseman when it just seems like at the end of this season they might just be able to sign him for nothing after he gets released. Like, so why are you going to trade, like, a bunch of assets to go get him right now?
But I think with Minnesota, it's interesting because you can offer a package of maybe like a Wiseman, maybe Kuminga. If you really are that confident in Karl Anthony Towns kind of being the missing link, you can even throw in one of those legacy players on Golden State. Like,
well, they'd have to.
Yeah, like a Draymond. Because one year with Draymond and Rudy Gobert, that's good defense though for Minnesota. That's a hell of
no offense. Spacing. Spacing is awful. Well, they'd have to throw in one of those guys because just for salary purposes. I mean, look, I know they're willing to go over the hard cap and everything, but they ain't trying to pay that big of a luxury bill. It's already at like $300 million or some shit. Like, They're just going to add more to it if they get Towns. So yeah, you'd have to trade like a Clay or a Draymond or a Wiggins or Jordan Poole. I don't know if they can trade Jordan Poole because they just signed the extension. Yeah. They'd have to trade one of those guys just for like cap purposes.
I think they have long-term plans. Jordan Poole is going to replace Clay Thompson.
Yeah. They're
done. We're smoking on this Clay Thompson pack out here in these FMC streets. Smoking on that Klay Thompson pack because he's done. He's finito. I'm sorry. I loved you, Klay. I think you were one of the best two guards of the last decade. I would go that far.
I'll forever have Klay Thompson game 6 nightmares because of what he did in 2016. Shout out to his father, though. His father is a link between my wife and I because of his terrible take on Thompson, Bret Hart,
game 6.
Triple H. No. Don't like it. Phil says players don't field goal Gobert on defense anymore. Like that is the thing. Is like, yeah, they're willing to attack Gobert. They also just know how to like play him, just draw him out, like play five out, and he can't protect the paint as much. They also just don't fear him on offense. Like I had hopes because I thought part of the issue was him and Mitchell just had no chemistry. And Gobert, like he wouldn't hit Gobert on the roll, he wouldn't get him any lobs, he wouldn't get him like anything easy. And now I still think that was part of the reasoning is just Mitchell didn't hit him as much as he should have.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's also kind of clear that Gobert just ain't good around the rim, doesn't finish well, doesn't have the hands, doesn't have the touch, and just doesn't make the plays for himself offensively. So there was a reason that Mitchell probably wasn't getting him the ball as much as maybe he should have. So yeah, that's the thing with Gobert is he doesn't offer much offensively. And it defensively, like he's still a deterrent around the rim and stuff, but teams just know how to attack him a little bit better. They just know how to attack him a little bit better. And so it doesn't quite work. Who has the best defense in the NBA? Like statistically, I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Let's see this.
Statistically. I thought it was going to work in Minnesota, and now it's still early. You still want to like give it a shot. Like I think it'd be a mistake to just blow it up right now, but I could see by the trade deadline, if they're like, ooh, this ain't fully working, I could see them trying to retool it and just get what they can for Karl Anthony Towns, which probably be a lot. D'Angelo Russell, by the way, he's been trash. And that's been an issue too. Like D'Angelo Russell,
that's been bad.
He's not been good. And yeah, he's got to figure that out because he's not shooting well. And I mean, he called it a slump. It's like a season long slump at this point. He's not shooting well, and like he's got to be just more of a playmaker overall. And that might help, but they got to get Towns more involved because like he's not their best player. Edwards is probably their best player at this point, but Towns is he's their second best player and obviously a unique player with the way he can score and everything. They just got to get him more involved and they're not doing that enough. So I think the Suns have the best defense in the league. Suns and Bucks. They give up the least amount of points. Suns, Bucks, and Sixers for point total are the top three as far as like defensive rating. We're looking for that. That's a different conversation, but as far as like points given up, it's Sun, Bucks, and Sixers as the top three. By the way, Joel Embiid, monster games. Yes. Monster games. My Sixers, I picked them to go to the finals, which I'm still not like fully confident.
I don't even know why you brought that up.
Because Joel Embiid is a monster right now. That's why
I mean, when you said your Sixers, that's I don't even know why you brought that up, sir.
I mean,
second in the league in points per game. I'm like, I think all these guys are playing out of their minds. The top five scorers in the league, all over 30 points per game. You got Luka averaging nearly 35 points per game. You got Joel Embiid averaging 32, Jason Tatum averaging 32, Donovan Mitchell's averaging 32, and Shea's averaging 32.
A lot of scoring in the NBA. Defensive ratings, by the way, Bucks are first, Clippers, and then Suns. Those are the best defensive teams.
And that makes sense. When you think of some of the better defensive players in the league, it's Giannis, Kawhi, Paul George.
Kawhi's not playing, though. Kawhi's not playing.
That is true. That is true.
Give any credit to him.
I gave you the alley. That was actually an alley. I was...
not doing anything.
I was no. But I said when people think of the best defensive players in the league, they say Kawhi. So I just wanted to bring it up to see if you would slam it home, and you did. Good job, Jeremy. Set you up there.
Phil says Toronto is surprisingly really good on defense until they got carved up by my Oklahoma City Thunder. Until they got carved up by Shea and Giddy. Giddy. As the Wally Zerbiak right there.
Get it.
Oh, that shit was hilarious. triple double. Josh Giddey rules. They're missing Siakam now, so like that hurts their defense. Was Pat Bev more important
than what they played?
What's that?
I said they're a better team than how they played against OKC. Even the Pistons game was really close. They only won by 4 points.
Was Pat Bev more important than they thought for Minnesota? Probably. Like, I'm not the biggest Patrick Beverly guy in the world.
He was the defensive anchor. Oh my god. Why are you disrespecting Pat Bev? Future NBA Hall of Famer.
No, he's not.
Future Hall of Famer. Future Hall
Patrick
of Famer.
Beverly's not gonna be in the NBA Hall of Fame.
Future Hall of Famer. If not the NBA Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame, then the New Media Hall of Fame, which I'm gonna start.
Hall of Fame's awful.
This Hall of Fame is awful with such distinguished names as SP3 and Draymond Green and Patrick Beverly. Oh my god, that's three of the best when it comes to the new media.
Patrick Beverly's not in the Hall of Fame. Is worse than Elite Big.
New Media Hall of Fame.
You didn't say that at first. You said legitimate Hall of Fame.
He should be. Future Hall of Famer. Shouldn't. Come on.
What has Patrick Beverly done that warrants being in the Hall of Fame?
He gave us one of the greatest memes of all time, him celebrating that play-in win against Minnesota.
Okay, so he's in the meme Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverly's not even in like the Hall of Good.
I didn't know there was a Hall of Good. Are you in the Hall of Good?
I mean, I got more of a case than Patrick Beverly. He's in the Hall of Existed. That's what Patrick Beverly is in. No one's going to remember Patrick Beverly in 5 years for what he did on the court, for his actual on the court. They'll remember him because he'll probably be on ESPN every week, like talking and shit. And they'll remember him for the Russell Westbrook incidents and all that stuff. But court.
Okay.
No one's going to remember Patrick Beverly.
I like to retract my comment. He's not in the NBA Hall of Fame. He is in the Player Haters Hall of Fame.
I mean, yeah.
That's a distinguished class of individuals in that Player Haters Hall of Fame.
Good on him. He's a hater. I don't like Patrick Beverly. He was taking credit for locking up Kevin Durant, and that's why they beat the Nets. It was a good win. Good win to beat the Nets, SP3. You feeling good? They're on a winning streak of one game. Feeling good?
We're back on our second biggest winning streak of the year. One game. I'm very happy right now. I mean, We're doing better than we were doing at that point. We needed that one desperately. We were on like a 4-game losing streak, but here we are, ladies and gentlemen.
They're gonna be at 500 by the end of November. That was your claim.
No, I
that figured was your out, claim.
I am now retracting my statement on
why,
that.
Why, coward?
Well. I'm retracting my statement on that as well. What I will guarantee is by Christmas Day, we will be 13-19.
That's not a good record.
I looked at the games and I had to be realistic, and I was like, okay, that's a win. That's a loss. That's a loss. That's a loss. Win, loss, 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 loss. Win, 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 win. Okay. 13-19
is not a good record.
13-19 when we verse the Dallas Mavericks on Christmas Day. Why? Yeah, those three Spurs games are going to help us, but I had to give them at least one win.
They're not going to win all those Spurs games.
We're going to win two out of three. We'll win the series.
Why don't the Lakers play basketball anytime soon? It feels like they're off for like a week. I want to make fun of them.
What are you talking about? We just played.
Yeah, but they don't play again until the 18th. What do you mean? You just played on the 13th. That was 2 days ago. They don't play again until the 18th. It's legitimately a week off.
We finally have 5 days off. We had the toughest stretch to open the league this year. What are you talking about? It's not, Jeremy. We already established that we had the toughest stretch. Versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, Los Angeles Clippers, Phoenix Suns, good. Denver Nuggets.
They're playing.
Suns aren't good. Now this. You just said they.
I said the Clippers. I said the Clippers aren't good.
Oh, the Clippers. They're one of the best defensive teams.
And they're one of the worst offensive teams.
Hey, we talk about defense here. Defense wins basketball games.
Why don't you score some points?
We will. Don't worry.
Should they cut LeBron?
Huh?
Should they cut LeBron?
Yeah. Should they what?
Sure, release him. Why? He's not that good. He's not good. They're 3-0 without him.
What are we talking? Why are we talking about the Lakers again? I thought we weren't going to talk about the Lakers this week. No, I didn't. I was going through all the teams. I was just talking about all the teams.
They're 3-0 without him. Like, they don't really need him.
They're not 3-0 without him. We only won one of those games. It's been even worse. I had to watch one of those games, and I was just like, man, this is really bad even without LeBron. I thought LeBron was the problem. But no.
Should the Nets cut Kyrie? They're better without him. Defend the Nets.
If we could get him on a minimum exception,
you don't want to do that. There's no way you'd actually like Kyrie on the Lakers, even like under any circumstances. That's a terrible fit.
No, it's not terrible. We need a shooter. He's a shooter. He can shoot the basketball.
I'm glad you live in a 2K world where it's like, yeah, great. Just give me these guys who are numbers and stats. It doesn't work like that, SP3. It doesn't. These guys have feelings. They make comments.
Oh, God.
They're not emotionless robots, as Draymond Green once famously said. You don't want Kyrie on that team. That's a disaster.
This man made an honest mistake, and he just handled the whole situation very poorly, I might add. But it was an honest mistake at the end of the day. I wouldn't put him in the same category as Kanye West. I wouldn't put him in the same category of other people that have, been in this type of situation. Kyrie deserves a second chance. He is my family. I stand by my family through thick and thin.
Okay, sure. Here's the thing. This is the third team he's done this with. All right, this goes beyond these comments. This is just this guy is not going to be good for your locker room and your culture, because this is just what he does. He literally just disappeared in the middle of a playoff run. Like, did we just forget about this? I feel like we forget about it because it was a decade ago. All at this point, at least it feels like. Yeah, I know it wasn't.
Wait, you're talking about Boston?
No, in Cleveland. Remember, he just like disappeared in Cleveland in the middle of the playoff run. Like, the team didn't have communication with him for like 2 days. It was in the finals too, I think. He's just like, oh yeah, just didn't show up and everything. Like, people just like forget about this. He did that, and then Boston was a whole ordeal.
Yeah.
And now we have it with the Nets. This is just what he does. This is not the type of guy you want coming into a locker room and a team that already can't figure things out and has chemistry issues. Okay. But sure, take him because he can shoot a basketball well, and maybe he'll win you an extra game. Maybe. Maybe. He also hasn't won very much.
He will. He has won when he's next to LeBron James.
Yeah, when he was next to LeBron James in his prime, not washed LeBron.
LeBron's washed now?
Yeah, LeBron's washed.
Come on.
He's washed, dude.
You guys are being ridiculous now. This is ridiculous.
he's kind of been washed.
Why are we still talking about the Lakers? I thought we were talking about Kyrie at this point.
We are, but you're the one who said you wanted him in Los Angeles.
I'm just saying, you said Kyrie being released by the Nets. I was like, I wouldn't mind it. LeBron's averaging 25 points, so? Ladies and gentlemen.
So?
9 rebounds.
What's he shooting?
7 assists.
What's he shooting?
1 steal. Come on. How was that washed?
Because somebody has to get numbers on a bad team.
Anthony Davis is putting up numbers. He's averaging 24 points and 11 rebounds.
Because somebody has to get numbers on a bad team. He's shooting 23%. From 3, 45% from the field.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
45% from the field, 23%.
That's not good.
Yeah.
23% from 3? That's awful. On 7 attempts!
Yes, it is.
7 attempts!
That's a lot of attempts. Oh, wow. I gotta give it to Anthony Davis, though. Can I give it to Anthony Davis? This man's averaging 1 3-pointer a game. That's exactly the amount I want to see. Anthony, you're getting better. Thank you. 1 3-pointer.
7 attempts. Yeah. LeBron, 24 points on 21 field goal attempts per game. He's not shooting the ball well. It's a little disingenuous to say LeBron is like fully washed, but he doesn't get to the line as much. He doesn't attack as much. Shooting 66% from the line, too. That's awful.
Yeah,
AD, he's never been a good free throw shooter.
AD is averaging more free throw attempts than him per game.
He's old, man. He's old. Yeah. He's hurt. He's tired. He works with fucking Anthony Davis. Like, it's not great. He's old.
This is his old Kobe years. I've lived through the old Kobe years. I'm okay with this. I understood.
You're okay with this.
I'm okay with this only when it doesn't cost us games. He's only cost us about 4 of our 10 losses. So that's not even 50% quite yet.
You're okay with this. There is a team that's supposed to compete for a title. They mortgaged their future to get guys like Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook.
We're going to be honest here. He's just trying to get the scoring championship. That's all he wants. He wants the scoring record. That's what it's all about this season. It's not about the wins. He knew they packed it up. We came up with the conspiracy theory that I actually believe that Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka do not want LeBron James to tie Kobe Bryant in championships. So I think LeBron has succumbed to that, and he understands that the only thing he can do is get the scoring record, and that's what he's about to do.
Yeah, I told you that theory, and now... I'm fully bought into it. Why are we talking about the Lakers? They suck.
I asked this from the beginning. What are we talking about here?
Oh, you brought him up. You brought him up.
Now it's always me. It's always, you brought him up.
You did bring them up.
You brought him up.
You did.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
You are wrong. You're always wrong. You're another one that deserves to be in the Player Haters Hall of Fame.
I'm not sharing anything with Patrick Beverley.
You should. No. You and Pat Bev. Yeah, I would have a great conversation off hate.
No, we wouldn't.
But The Sixers is very inconsistent, as we established. But Wizards has been playing well this season. I've been liking. I saw their last game that they played, and looking good. They beat the Jazz and the Grizzlies. Kuzma. Yes, Kyle Kuzma, former Laker great. I know. Everyone that we traded from these Lakers in the last couple of years are flourishing around the league. We give. We are givers. We're givers, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we do out here.
I'm glad the Lakers are giving back to the league. Bless the Lakers, everybody.
Thank you.
Even if they're not winning, they find a way to win.
We always win. All we do is win. I mean, win, no matter what.
They're not winning much this year.
I ain't never giving up.
All right, well, you probably should.
And I stand up. My hands is up, and they stay there. But KP is playing well for the Wizards. He's averaging 21 points, 8 rebounds, 49% from the field.
He's been good. Mavericks have been – Luka's been good. That team's not good. That's a bad team.
That's not a good team. It's not a good team. They did too much of getting rid of everybody, so it's all Luka.
It's too much just Harden ball on that team. They watch how James Harden played, and they're like, "Hey, let's just replicate that," and it doesn't quite work. It's not great, and it's disappointing because I like Luka, but I don't know if they're gonna make a move or what it's gonna be. But it's not great.
And I just want to know, why does Rick Carlisle not like Christian Wood? Because Christian Wood is probably the second best player on this team.
Well, Rick Carlisle, I believe, is coaching in Indiana. So I don't know why he dislikes.
Whoever the coach of the Mavericks.
Do you not know who the Mavericks coach is?
Jason Kidd. My fault. My head was in like 2000. some year like
your head was ago. Back when the Lakers were good.
Yeah.
Back in the bubble.
It was
with the Mickey Mouse ring.
Back in the, he disrespecting Kobe again. Oh man. But yeah, the Mavericks. I don't know why they don't like Christian Wood. Christian Wood's coming off the bench and he's playing well, but it's just like, I think he should be starting on this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine that he's coming off the bench. It's just their offense isn't very good. It's just, hey, let's just play Harden ball. It's not great. They should probably be winning more games because at least Hardenball would win. Oh, I mean, when they had Chris Paul, it got better. But Hardenball was good in the regular season, just flamed out in the playoffs. There's a reason that Luka is not that good in the fourth quarter because he has to carry so much of the first three quarters. He's burnt by the fourth. They gotta figure something out because you want to talk about wasting prime years. Everyone's like, oh, you're going to waste the prime years of Shea Gilgeous Alexander. You're wasting the prime years of Luka Doncic. That's who's being wasted right now, everybody.
I mean, he's balling out of his mind this year. Like, he's leading this team in, I think, every statistical category, or at least the major ones. Points, rebounds, assists, steals. He's averaging 34 points per game on 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals on 49% from the field. He's not shooting very well from threes. He's shooting like 8 three-pointers per game on like 28% from three-point line, so that's not good. And he could improve his free throws, so if he gets better at those, then he's gonna be the MVP for sure.
Even with them playing
this Harden ball, which is probably gonna keep them at like the 4 or 5 seed.
I think he might win MVP regardless.
Yeah, because they love giving it to a 6 seed.
And they have. What if he's the 7th seed?
Man, I mean, Russell Westbrook was barely the 6th seed when he won MVP. So I think didn't you have to win like the last game or two, the last couple of games to get the 6th seed that season?
I don't remember. That was a fun season, though. We won the last game when he set the triple double record and he hit that like, nearly half court game.
And I thought the whole thing that everybody was saying that, oh, it's not just him trying to get the record, is that they need the win to get the 6 seed.
I don't remember that. I mean, you could be right. I just I don't have much memory of that. But that could have been possible. I feel like they were sort of locked in to the sixth seed at that point. Oh, because not interested.
Now he's like, I'm looking this up now.
Yeah, I'm curious.
But Ja's another one who's playing very well with the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies,
people hate on that team because they're having fun. It's very weird.
It's very weird how people hate on the Grizzlies because they're young and they're good and they're having fun. They feel like they're cocky and stuff, which it doesn't come across like that to me. But Ja's averaging 29 points per game, 6 rebounds, 7 assists on 48% from the field, 41% from three. That's been like the major improvement for him. He's consistently knocking down that 3-point shot. So he's another one that could come in and kind of steal, which seems like a year that, you know, Joel Embiid could finally win one, or Luka win his first one. Ja could come in and probably steal an MVP himself. And then there's also Giannis. But he's been hurt this week, which hurt me in our fantasy freaking basketball league. God damn, Giannis. He was out for, what, 2-3 games? And I lost this week because I missed out on Giannis. My leader was out.
Should have taken Anthony Davis. He played in every game this week.
Is this true?
Miss one game, actually. By the way, the Thunder were fully locked into the sixth seed. They had 47 wins. The Grizzlies, who were in the seventh seed, had 43 wins. So they were 100% just like locked into the sixth seed by that.
So he just played to get the triple double record. What a greedy son of a bitch. And what a greedy team. What a greedy team.
How?
Vile and disgusting. You didn't have to do that. You could have sat him and rested him. Maybe I would have done well in the playoffs.
They did rest him a couple of games.
They should have rested him that final game.
Why?
Because maybe I would have done better in the playoffs.
Maybe who would have done it? The Thunder?
Yeah. We're talking about
Because when they sat him in any game in the playoffs, that's why they lost to the Rockets.
I didn't say to sit him. I said you should have played him all 48 minutes for every single game of the playoffs. And how you do that is by sitting Russ down on the final game of the season.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it does.
The Lakers should do that with LeBron. Just rest him all season and then make the playoffs, and then he'll be healthy enough for a run in the playoffs.
Disgusting.
I'm just using your logic with you here.
You should have sat Russ down that final game of the season, but that's the past. We can't reflect on the past and the bad decisions of the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're making better decisions, like we recapped at the start of the show.
Why are you being so mean today?
I'm not being mean. I am just taking.
Why are you taking?
I'm taking the energy that you are giving towards the LA Lakers.
Why are you taking?
I am reflecting it back.
Why are you taking the best moment in Thunder history over the last few seasons, the Russell Westbrook MVP season, where he lit the NBA world on fire in a variety of ways? Like, oh, they should have rested him. That him getting the triple double record, leading that comeback against the Nuggets, that was legitimately one of the best games I've ever watched. Mm. Getting that triple double record, hitting that game winner against the Nuggets. Like, by the way, SP3, since you want to be a dick about things, that was the third to last game. They rested him the following game against Minnesota, and then they played him less than 20 minutes in the final game against the Nuggets. So it wasn't even the last game of the season. So they did try to use your logic. And then they lost because they weren't a good team that year.
Why didn't they rest him?
Apologize.
Why didn't they rest him?
Apologize.
Once they got the sixth seed.
Apologize.
Once they got the sixth seed.
And the Oklahoma City Thunder. Apologize.
Once he got the sixth seed, he should have sat out the whole rest of the season.
Apologize.
I said, apologize. No, that was my logic. My logic was, once you got the sixth seed, you should have sat out the rest of the season. Maybe would have been.
I'm not sure they were fully in the sixth seed by that point. They ended up four games, but there were still three games remaining. So had they lost out and the other team won them. It's possible. I don't know how the math. Maybe the other team had four games remaining. I don't know how the math works. I'm not going back to do all that schedule stuff. They could have potentially not been the sixth seed, is what I'm saying. So they needed to still play him. You're not going to rest him for 2 weeks and then have him come into the playoffs. That's stupid. That's dumb. Apologize.
No, that was my logic. They didn't do my logic. That's why y'all lost in the play.
This was not your logic. Your logic was to be a hater.
I am giving you the same energy. You try to ruin one of the greatest moments in recent Laker history by calling our championship win in 2020 under the worst circumstances of any champion winning a championship, a Mickey Mouse ring. We went through the toughest.
Did they not win the ring at Disney? Why do you take it? Why do you take Mickey Mouse ring as a hate
or a diss? It is hate.
It's Mickey Mouse is one of the most iconic figures of all time. Why don't you turn it into a positive, SP3?
Why can't you?
Why do you think I'm hating when I say Mickey Mouse?
Why can't you choose the Disney character that is black and goofy? Why can't you say it's a goofy ring? If you called it a goofy ring, I'd be perfectly fine with it. We represent the goofy. Black culture.
Why would you want to say goofy? Then it does sound like it's disrespectful. Because people call things goofy when they're trying to be disrespectful.
I'd rather that because he's a black man. I don't want no white boy. Fine. I don't want a ring being represented by that white boy that Walt Disney made.
Mickey's like part black.
Nah.
What do you mean no?
Nah.
I'm going to put a picture of Mickey Mouse on the screen, and you're not going to tell me that this man is not part black.
And what are we talking about in the chat? What are we talking about in the chat? Ace says, you're going to be on the Giants bandwagon. I don't jump on any bandwagons. I've explained. My Laker blood runs deep. It runs from the fact that I saw Kobe Bryant on the McDonald's All-American game when he was a senior at Lower Merion High School, and he got drafted and got traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. That man, that's a white boy. Look at him. Look at him. Look at how he
literally part black.
No, he's
literally.
No, he's not. He's tan.
That's a hell of a tan.
He's a mouse.
He's a mouse. Literally part black.
He's a mouse. That's a mouse.
Fine. You want a goofy ring? I'll gladly call it the goofy ring.
I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
It sounds far worse if I call it.
I'm fine with that.
You were trying to. The Mickey Mouse ring, as it was once called, you took that as a negative. Yep. Mickey Mouse is an iconic figure in pop culture history.
Not to me.
It's a goofy ring. You won the goofy.
That's fine. That's fine with me. Okay. He says a black guy. A goofy movie. One of the greatest Disney movies of all time. Iconic. Iconic. It's about Black Parenthood.
That is an iconic movie.
It's an iconic movie.
You should watch it.
We should review it. Yes. Yeah. Next week, that's what we got. We got two big things for next week. We got us ranking Fast and Furious movies and our review of a goofy movie.
Yeah, SP3 messages me this morning and is like, I don't have a lot of basketball to talk about. And here we are 56 minutes later talking about basketball.
Because you bring up the Lakers and this is what happens. You brought it up at the beginning. You brought it up here.
They bring themselves up. They always make themselves as part of the conversation.
They do.
So he messages me. He's like, we should rank the Fast and Furious movies. And I'm like, you got to give me, like, we got to promote this. This is a big deal. Like, ranking of the Fast and Furious movies? This is a huge, huge deal. So next week, we will rank the Fast and Furious movies. I'm going to watch them all this weekend. I'm not going to have time to do any of that. But I'm going to try to watch them all this weekend. Fast and Furious Fridays, baby! She's going to come in here.
Where do they have all the Fast and Furious?
I think they're on Peacock.
They're on Peacock? Oh, yeah, they're on the cock.
Pretty sure I'm there. Right. Yeah, I think they're on the cock. So we're gonna do that, and we'll review a Goofy movie. I do need to rewatch a Goofy movie.
You do, and I'm gonna. Do you have Hulu?
Yeah, we got the Hulu.
I'm gonna tell you, you don't have to watch any other episode of the series, but just please watch before you watch it. Watch Atlanta season 4 episode 8. Just watch that before you watch a Goofy movie, please.
See, I mean, I'll try. The thing is like I've watched the first. I think I'm at 2 seasons on Atlanta.
But it's perfect because it's not involving any of the other characters. It's literally an episode about a Goofy movie.
All right. See, I don't like doing that. I don't. If I haven't seen it before. Like I like watching, especially if it's a show that like I've actually watched. Clearly, I haven't kept up with it because it's been a while. But like, I have a tough time, like just watching stuff out of order, like that. I'll think about it.
Please do.
Well, yeah. Let's hold off on the Goofy movie review. Fast and Furious is going to be a long debate.
That is true.
That's gonna be.
I know your ridiculous love for
the greatest film franchise of all time. Yes,
the wackest and the corniest and the lamest film.
You're the one who suggested we rank this.
Yeah, because I do like some of the movies, but I'm not as high on the entire cinematic universe as you are. But going back to that line about bandwagon, I don't jump on any bandwagon. And if I was going to jump on the Giants bandwagons, don't you think I would have jumped on the 2 championships they've had this freaking decade? What the hell are we talking about here? Bandwagons. Don't even put my name and bandwagon in the same sentence. That's a new t-shirt. SP3 equal sign with a slash over it. Bandwagon. Bingo.
Then it's kind of like technically then it's on the same t-shirt, not the same sentence, but like
that's fine with same t-shirt marketing branding, but no.
I don't like that idea. What else you got?
I'm not pitching t-shirt ideas to you. Like you're Mark Cuban and this shark thing. Get the hell out of here. Let's talk about the challenge.
It's the Shark Tank episode of fuck, what's the name of the show? Oh, the teacher show, SP3, Abbott Elementary.
Abbott.
I couldn't think of it, like it just escaped my mind. The Shark Tank episode where they're pitching of what to do. Yeah. It's like, what was the name of the show? I just completely blanked on it.
Great stuff. I was bad. They didn't have a new episode this week.
We're still a couple episodes behind. I've invited Cher Delaware here. She's not responded. She's probably waiting to get the Taylor Swift. I think she got put on the wait list. So technically, I got put on the wait list as well. But somebody else got not on the wait list. Problem is, it's the Chicago one, and it's on a Sunday. Very difficult for me. To make this happen, and I gotta have a conversation.
Oh, I thought you were going for one that was like near you.
Well, I was, but I got put on the wait list for those, and so the code that I do have is for Chicago on a Sunday, and yeah, that's gonna be difficult. So I gotta figure it out, and I'm not sure it's gonna. I'm gonna be honest with everybody right now. I've resigned to the fact that I'm probably not going to this concert. I've resigned myself to that. And it's very sad. And it's not because obviously I don't want to go, because I do. But like, I've resigned to the fact that I'm probably just not going to end up going to this concert. And I'm a little disappointed, but I came to grips with that last week. And so I'm less disappointed about it. Don't make fun of me. I'm actually like upset about this. Oh, okay. No, sorry. I'm actually upset about this. Like,
okay.
So don't make fun of me.
I'm sorry.
I've had a rough week, SP3.
I'm sorry.
I'm sick. Kids are sick. I'm just, it's been tough.
It's all right. It's gonna be fine. I'm sure you'll have a chance to see her one day. Hey, Cher.
Hello, Cher.
Lighten the mood. Jeremy made me all depressed. He's sad.
I'm sorry.
How are you doing?
I'm currently hemorrhaging, so that's a good time.
Well, that's not good. Mm-hmm.
I'm on bed rest.
I like your shirt.
Thanks. I mean, there's not much I can add to it right now.
I'm reading about... Cher, you got waitlisted for the Taylor Swift thing, right?
I saw your tweet.
Yeah, so did I. But I had so the niece, the wife's niece, boyfriend, got a boyfriend's mother. Actually, many degrees of separation here. Got a code, but it's for Chicago on a Sunday, and that's very tough for us to do. Yeah, I'm a little. I just before you came on, I spilled that I've kind of resigned that I'm probably not going to this concert, at least not at this moment. Like, yeah. Is there a possibility that, like, you know, 2 weeks before the show, I just find tickets and they're a halfway decent deal, and I'm like, all right, let's go, let's get these tickets. Yes, that's legitimately what happened for Reputation. Is like 2 weeks before the show, it was in Nashville. And I'm like, I'm just gonna buy these tickets. Like, it was a good deal. Sat way at the top of the arena, stadium, whatever. Don't care, but it was a good deal. I've never been a person who's like bought tickets immediately when they go on sale. I've always been buy tickets like a month out because that's when people are like selling and like desperate to get rid of them.
Yeah. I put down for Nashville and Cincy. So.
See, I had Pittsburgh and Cincy, but the wife's niece, boyfriend's mother put down Chicago, Cincy, and Nashville. And it was selected for the Chicago one, which again, I don't feel great about, especially because it was the Sunday one and not even like a Saturday.
Right.
It is during the summer, which might be helpful. I don't know, but yeah.
I want a Nashville because it's like a couple days after my 30th birthday.
There you go. Nashville's always like, that's where I went for Reputation, and like, because it's like hometown. Like, it all, it feels like a bigger deal. Like, she brought out like Tim McGraw for the Reputation tour.
I think there's three Nashville shows now. I think they have another one.
Yeah, there's three Chicago shows as well. It's like, couldn't we do the Friday or Saturday? No, it's the Sunday one. Like, what are we doing here? So, we will see. I got to have a conversation with the wife after I get off air here about what we're going to do. But I'm letting her know, as I'm sure she is listening, it's okay. It's okay if we don't get tickets today. Maybe... in what, sometime next year as the event gets closer.
Oh yeah, because it's still months tickets. Away.
It is. And again, people sell these things. How much changes in 6 months? You know, people are going to sell these things. They're going to have other stuff come up and they're going to attempt to sell them. Like, it'll be okay. All right, let's talk about the challenge before I cry on air. What happened on the last episode, SB3? Recap everything.
Why do I have to recap everything?
You're the recap person.
All right. So,
watch the damn episode.
I know that much. I knew that. I remember is because I watched this like the day after. So this is very hazy in my mind because I have baby brain with two terrible 2-year-olds going around. But I remember Jay and Michelle making some of the worst moves ever. Oh, they buried their game. They were kind of one of the underdog favorites, but winning here, they had a simple choice to make. They had been put in. Their name had been said by Bananas and Nani. Bananas and Nani, probably the odds-on favorites to win this season, based on Bananas being a 7-time winner and Nani having a good social game, I guess. They were the favorites to win. They said your name. Easy pick because they were starting to get numbers. They had all the rookies on their side, and they decided not to say Bananas and Nani's name. Jay was like so nervous off of who they should pick between Bananas and Nani or Darrell and Victoria and Veronica, excuse me, and Veronica. And he left it up to Michelle, and Michelle chose Darrell and Veronica for some reason, which was just baffling. It's like you keep making them the scapegoats. It's like, it was just so frustrating to watch, because I was like, Jay and Michelle, your game, you kind of just ruined it. And Jay, they set it up very good with, you know, Jay and Jack. They had formed some type of like friendship, and they were friends and they were cool, but they decided to throw their name in because Michelle has an issue with Laurel. She basically feels that Laurel is a threat and Laurel would target her, but Laurel had no, you know, inclination, doesn't view her as a threat, like, at all. It was very much the Josh and Wes situation from Total Madness, and it gave us one of the best interrogation segments in a while on the challenge, with Laurel just completely no-selling him and just standing there silent as Michelle just goes on and on, like, yeah, I just thought, like, you were, like, not, like, really talking game with me, so I was gonna be a threat to your game, your threat to my game. And Laura was like, and Michelle just keeps going and going, and then she's like, so, yeah, what do you think? She was like, Laura was like, do you have a question? she was like, you just went on and on. You didn't really ask me a question. Like, she was like, am I
talking? Laurel is terrifying.
Yeah. Like,
oh, I'm scared of her.
Oh, my God. If I was in a room and it was just me and her, I would, like, stand in a corner and cry. Like, she is so scary.
Oh, man. And they called their name. Not only did they say their name for the four teams, but then they chose them as the team to throw down there, which was even worse. So it was just like such a bad move on Jay and Michelle, because now you have Laurel and Jack as an enemy. You have a couple of people that you did have an alliance with looking at you funny because you didn't say Bananas and Nani's name. They quote unquote seem to have a cool IOU from Bananas and Nani, but Bananas established in the interrogation. He was like, I'm gonna say whatever it takes right now to get away from this, but you know, I do. He was like, I owe you one, but just one. It's like, oh, you didn't even help yourself at all.
There's no way Bananas and Nani are like following through on this give me with Jay, because yeah, they didn't say their name, like, okay, cool, but I don't think Bananas and Nani actually view that as like, well, you saved us. I think they view it as, you guys are just fucking idiots, and so that's your own fault that you're stupid and didn't do this. Yeah, Jay talked about like making big moves and everything, and then he made a weak move. He upset his Jack and Laurel because he was in the band with Jack and everything. They were having fun and you know, doing rhymes, or they did the emo band thing. Like, he upset his one friendship and now he doesn't have anybody. So yeah, it's not a great look for Jay and Michelle. Anissa nearly screwed it up when they pulled the dagger. Anissa and Jordan, they did get a little unfortunate with the dagger, because had like Colleen and Kim pulled that, maybe Anissa and Jordan could have gone down there, and yeah, that would have been a big showdown, Jack and Laurel against Anissa and Jordan. But Anissa and Jordan pulled the dagger, and then they saved Darrell and Veronica, even though
no. Veronica was like, I'm not gonna get too much camera time this season, so let me drag this out. She was like, I thought when we came down here that Anissa would give me some type of assurance, so I don't know, maybe we should,
you know, that was associate.
I know, I was like Veronica, I was like, when she started like that, I was like, Veronica, we know you're picking Anissa. Like, why are you doing all of this? Like, we know you're picking Anissa. You're just trying to drag out your few camera time, because everybody knows you and Darrell are not winning a challenge. You're not winning a daily. Y'all maybe can win an elimination, but you're not winning a daily because it's you. Unless it's trivia. She could do trivia very well.
So, and then, but they, yeah. So Anissa and or Veronica and Jordan saved Anissa and Jordan. My God, I'm all over the place. All right. Darrell and Veronica saved Anissa and Jordan.
There you go.
There you go.
So yeah, Colleen and Kim went down. They lost to Jack and Laurel in this game where you had to, I don't know, you had to like match up the puzzle and everything. And it seemed like they were acting like Jack and Laurel were losing the entire time. And then they ended up winning. So they like to do that.
Yeah, they do. I liked the daily more than the elimination. The daily was kind of very intricate, and it broke down where, like, who was the strong, you know, females at swimming? Who was the strong males at swimming? I thought it did that very well. And then who was strong with working together as far as, like, you know, paddling the boat and getting the boat over to the final destination. I thought that was a good challenge in the way they broke that down. And it made Jay and Michelle look like a strong contender to possibly, you know, go long in this game. And then they completely ruined it with their decision. It was like the exact opposite of Nelson and Norris from last week, where they helped their game tremendously with the moves they made. Jay and Michelle ruined their game.
Yeah. SP3, you had Colleen and Kim. They are gone. That was your last pick. So both of you are missing two teams. I'm missing one. The chat still alive with two teams.
Chat's whooping our ass. Chat's going to win this whole.
They will not be winning with Fasal.
If Fessy wins, can you imagine? Can you imagine if Fessy wins?
If Fessy wins, we are not doing any more challenge drafts.
Cher, have you watched Love is Blind? Have you finished it?
I have.
Okay, let's talk about this.
I think last week I was talking about how much I like Zenob.
Yeah.
I think she needs some therapy.
Yeah.
Like intensive therapy. I get it. Like, I am a petty bitch, so I understand like wanting to make him feel bad because he made her feel bad. But a lot of the times when he made her feel bad, it was her putting him in a situation where she knew he was going to make her feel bad. She was, like, cornering him into these, like, asking him, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think some other girl is? And what do you think I am? Like, why would you ask that? I'm just going to pretend in my mind that you don't know that any other woman exists, you know, like just use your brain a little bit. And then I think that she's so scared to get close to people because everybody close to her has died. So she like does it herself with her passive aggressiveness and everything. But to do that to him at their wedding in front of everyone and make this man cry, like, and on the little clip thing after, he was not food shaming her.
See, I didn't think so either.
Like,
I didn't think so either. Okay, so I didn't like Cole for the majority of the season, but there were moments, specifically the cooking thing, where it seemed like he was trying to do a sweet gesture and she is just like criticizing all of it. And I'm like, oh, been there, of like every little thing that you try to do just gets nicked at. And it's just, it's the worst feeling in the world. And when he was like, you know, like, you don't build me up or anything, like, I was like, oh yeah, like I completely get that. I didn't think they should get married. It just seemed they're just two different people, right? I didn't think she was the worst person ever. I think he was that bad. He likes to joke around and very, very centric and just very goofy and everything. There's two different people. Wasn't going to mesh. Get it. They get to the wedding. When she is like, she starts and is like, I like the journey for us. It seemed like she just wanted to say like nice things of like, this has been a good journey. Like, you're a good person. We'll go on and it's fine. And then she just eviscerates him of like, you've ruined my confidence. I hope no one, like, you don't do this to the woman after you. Like, you have tore me down. Like,
I
just
was so uncomfortable murders this watching man. It.
Me too. Yeah. Was not good. And the wife was telling me, like, it seemed like she, like, tried. And then, like, once she got started, she just kept going. And then, she just walked away. Her friends were applauding and stuff. I was like, oh, my gosh, what is happening here? What is happening here?
I think that she fully planned that that's what she was going to do.
I buy that. I buy it. Like, she said in the reunion that it wasn't. But clearly she told her friends what happened and stuff. And then they applauded her for standing up for herself and everything. I said at the reunion when we were watching it, of when, like, Alexa, like, went at him at one point, I was like, oh, there's more to this than just, like, Cole did what we saw on screen. Like, there's way more to this. They either saw something else or they talked, whatever it might be. There's just more to this. And then we found out there was a lot more to it. I didn't feel Cole doesn't seem like the best person in the world.
I think Cole's just immature, honestly.
Yeah. Like, I think he got attacked a little too much during the reunion. I don't know what to believe on the...
He's not like Shake.
No, Shake was far worse. I thought Bartista. I fucked this guy's name. I thought he was far worse.
He is far worse.
Barnett.
No. That's season one.
No, Bartise.
Yeah.
No, like, I felt bad for Cole, and I wasn't a Cole fan by any means, but I felt bad for him because she felt that way. She felt that way for a long time. Why not just break up with him before the wedding? Like, why go through all of that and make that scene and do that to him? Like, that is vengeful to do that to, like, he thinks he's getting married. He's up there. He's saying yes. And you do that to him. Like, that was, it really changed the way that I looked at her, because I still think that she is a beautiful woman. I still think that she needs therapy. And I think that she doesn't need to be in any sort of long-term relationship until she gets, like, intensive therapy, because there's clearly some shit going on there. Like, the Bartise having a date with someone like 2-3 days later.
So he clearly was going to say no. Like, he knew going in there that he was going to say no. And then she sends him the gifts before the weddings. And you could tell he was going to say no because of his reaction to those gifts. Like, he is crying. He's like, oh man, this is so hard. You could tell he was going to say no. And those gifts, like, got to him. And, like, he, like, wanted to give the impression that he was rethinking things, but he still ended up saying no, 'cause that was always going to be his decision. I was ready for the brother to swing on him after the wedding. I was ready for the whole family to jump his ass after the wedding. I was hyped for that. It didn't happen. Very unfortunate, but yeah, he was going to say no. And yeah, him is being going on a date 3 days later, 2 days, whatever it was. Like, that was a terrible look. He should have gotten more heat at the reunion than Cole did. But Cole, they told the story of, like, he asked for this girl's number at the bachelor party and tried to kiss the girl. There were no cameras. None of the guys vouched for it. I don't know how true it is. I can believe some of it, 'cause, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Cole either, but no backup on that. And then when we saw the orange story of that, I feel bad for Cole because he's trying to, like, arrange plans of, like, the second wedding in London and everything. And then, like, she's clearly not listening to what he's saying. And she even admits that, like, oh, I don't listen to you half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. And then he's making a joke about the orange. This is where it's two different people on two different kind of planets here. Of, for him, maybe not the best time to joke. And even if it is, she clearly feels how she feels about her body and everything. And
she,
he hasn't,
first insecurities on him, and it is, he can't control her insecurity. He can, you know, try to be supportive or whatever, but in the end, that's on her. It's not his fault.
He doesn't make things better though, because he wants to joke about this stuff and she is insecure about this. And you know, when he says like, oh, you're a 9, she's a 10, that doesn't help her when it comes to this stuff. He's not the person who can be there to support her.
Exactly.
Again, two different people that just don't mesh together. And that's what I took away from their relationship. I think they're both in the wrong at various aspects, but it wasn't working between them. I felt bad for him at the reunion though, because everyone attacked him and he seemed like genuinely upset. Like, this is the first time he had heard a lot of this information.
Yes. And I think like he's immature, whatever. It is what it is. Like, she's the one who said yes to him and everything. Yeah. It's not like he changed. He was always that way. In the pods, I was like, this guy's so fucking annoying because he was immature. Like, and people have different senses of humor. Like, you guys know me. I like bully people like that I'm friends with. Like, I'm not mean to people that mostly I'm not mean to people that I don't know, but like, I'm a nice person. Like, genuinely, I would do stuff for people, but like, I'm gonna make fun of my friends. That's just, I call Sean a bitch like 15 times a day, but like, I am friends with people who understand that. And you couldn't be in a relationship with someone that when you say stuff like that, they're like taking it to heart and things like that. You know, I mean, I don't think she had a sense of humor at all. And I think that was part of it, but I don't know. Like, it was so frustrating. Her and Nancy were my two favorites. I love Nancy. Nancy deserves everything good and beautiful in life. I felt so bad for her. Bartice is a piece of shit. He treated her terrible. He set her up with his family intentionally. Like, he's a terrible person. And I still think him and Raven would be perfect for each other because they would just be so self-centered and caring about themselves that they wouldn't worry about what the other one does.
Raven and SK got back together and they're just like dating, which is probably good, because at the wedding it did seem like that was SK's reasoning of like, they
yes,
but we have some, I'm about to move away, like, it just right now, like, marriage isn't going to work.
Bad timing for them.
Yeah, but we can be friends and see how it goes and maybe it'll work. And they're giving it a try and it seems like it's going well, so good on them. I'm not the biggest fan of Raven, because
I think Raven is gorgeous. I think the wedding, she looked so beautiful. Her eyes and everything, like, she looked gorgeous. I don't think Bartice is near as attractive as he seems to think that he is.
I don't like him.
He's always like, I'm the guy that when I'm in a room, people come up to me. I don't have to approach other people. People approach me. And I'm like, no.
he's terrible.
The wife kept terrible. Sending me like memes about Bartice.
he's terrible.
That she sent me.
He's terrible.
Oh, she may have sent it to me on Twitter. It was like comparing what Bartice looked like to, I can't find shit on Twitter. I hate Twitter. They're trying to make me have a freaking account that's verified because I have Twitter Blue. So now they've got my notifications split in between regular and verified.
I think that's for everybody because mine has that as well.
I won't upgrade. It keeps sending me a thing that's like, please upgrade to to get your check mark. And I
Twitter, refuse. Twitter bluer.
I refuse to do it. So I don't know. I've been getting so many messages from people because I'm sick. So I don't, it's in here somewhere. I can't find shit. I don't know. But people like comparing him to like cartoons and stuff. Like, he's not near as attractive as he seems to think that he is. And his personality is shit. Like, not even just that. He doesn't even have a good personality. So, I don't know. Also, yes, I got a new iPad Pro that I'm doing this on. So, for once, I'm not on my phone doing it. But I haven't got the thing yet to hook up my microphone. So, my microphone's just here. Not doing anything, but
yeah, it's fine. Kate says, hey! One of my three favorite people in the whole world. You need new friends if we're your three favorite people in the whole world.
I mean, me and Kate were sending, we just send voice messages to each other, and I kept going up the stairs, and then I would be like, I was like, sorry, I can't breathe. I just walked up the stairs. So like, God, I'm out of shape.
Nice.
Everyone watch Love is Blind. The wife was telling me that like they've already filmed season 4 and 5. And I'm like, can you just release them? Like, Alexa, what do we...
Alexa said that they filmed that 1.5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what are we doing here? Can we release this stuff? I need my trash TV to watch.
I don't know why it takes them so long to release it, because they did that same thing with the first season. Like, Cameron and Lauren, I remember they had already been married for like 2 years before they released the first season. And I'm like, it does not take that long to edit a show. Like, what's wrong with you?
No, just release this stuff. So that way I can, one, because by the time you get there, half these people might be divorced and stuff anyway. But yeah, just go ahead and release all of this stuff so I can get my trash reality television fixed. Too Hot to Handle is coming back very soon. Very excited.
I got another comment. Okay. Is it Colleen and Matt?
Yeah. With? Yeah.
I don't like him. Fair. I know I said that last week. Still don't like him. And her body language at the reunion,
yeah,
made me uncomfortable. Like, I feel like she's scared of him.
A lot of people were saying that like, yeah, she seemed very uncomfortable and very afraid during that entire thing. I didn't pick up on it too much, but it was also very late, and I was more listening than watching, right. But I might have to go back and kind of see what that was all about. But yeah, a lot of people had said that. I don't feel like they're gonna last. I think Alexa and Brennan might last. I didn't think Brennan came off well during the reunion. He was, I don't know. I didn't like him too much. And Alexa, she's just clearly, she's opinionated. That's fine. Like, I'm okay with that. But yeah, Colleen and Matt, that was... He immediately weird vibes when he just wanted to run every single time.
Yes.
Like, and immediately of just like, oh, I don't know.
Before he even started running, I was like, Matt is not passing the vibe check. Like, I don't know what it is about him. And then he started trying to run every time anything happened. And I loved that she called him out about it in front of his friends in that one episode. When she was like, yeah, we had a miscommunication. He didn't realize that the girls were going here. And then he packed his shit and tried to leave. And they were like, what? Like, you did what? So, yeah, I don't know. I think Alexa and Brennan might last. I think Colleen and Matt won't. But I don't know. We got Lauren and Cameron still married from season 1.
We shall see when they do the catch up. They put them all in a house in the woods, like they did with season 2. So they did after the altar, season 2. They just threw them all in the house in the woods. That's what they'll have to do for season 3. Release new episodes. Give me new episodes of The Ultimatum as well. Excited for that to return at some point. All right, I need to get out of here and be disappointed with these tickets here.
You're still on the waiting list.
No. Like, I got the code. It's 11 o'clock is when they go on sale, but I got to have a conversation about like what we're actually going to do. Can't make that decision by myself. So
I'm trying to be sympathetic on Facebook. So someone will give me a code.
You can potentially have my Chicago code if you would like it.
I don't want to go to Chicago.
That's fair.
Especially not on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, everybody. Do you want to plug anything, SV3?
Twitter. It's there on the screen. Godspeed.
There you go. Cher, do you have anything to plug?
I don't think so. If any of you will be at Full Gear, I will be there, Dr. Pending.
If anyone has a ticket they want to give me for Full Gear, I'm available. It's a Saturday, so it works out perfectly. The missus gave me the clearance, but I'm not spending that much money on it. So if you want to, you want a great guest to bring with you, great pictures, great experience. If you don't know the show, I'll explain it to you. I'm your man.
Just buy the tickets and we'll go. SP3, if you do come, we are meeting at a bar like right before. So I'll let you know, or not right before, but before to eat, you know, then we can make people mad on the internet again and everything. And if you'll
every year for full gear.
If you will be in Winston-Salem the following weekend, I will be there.
Yes, so. I'm going to see you there. We're going to, Sean and I are going to hit, I say we should do the heart attack to people. We're going to hit the heart attack.
Just not to me.
Nah.
Preferably.
Nah. Well, don't be mean to us. That's very tough for you. So you're probably going to have to hit you with a heart attack.
Sean asked me this morning if I needed anything because he's worried. And I was like, a new cervix. And he said, I have one of those lying around, actually. So I'll be good to go by then.
We'll be in Winston-Salem next week for WrestleCade. Next week we are gonna rank Fast and Furious movies. The time might change on when we do this show. SP3, I gotta talk to you about that because the kids are on break and there's other stuff going on, so we'll talk when I know something. I'll let you know as well. Otherwise, thanks everybody for hanging out with us on our weekly. Now, what is that? What is this? Can't do it.
Rish, what's just, like, wrong with you? What?
I got no rhythm. That's how my wrists work. Just like that.
I can't handle it.
All right, everybody. Yeah. I'm too white for this movement, okay?
The easiest thing to do when you're like like this.
Tired. I've been up since 4. I'm sick. All right, it's gonna be a long week. Cut me some slack. Everyone on this show's banned. Bye, everybody. Everyone's so mean to me. Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.